Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Dave, thanks so much for leading us in those songs this morning, those songs of praise, and thank you for joining in our worship together this morning. We've got some wonderful things that are about to take place. Lots of things always taking place in the church family here in the life of this body of believers, but a few things I want to highlight next week. Starting next week, we have a brand new lineup of Bible classes. So I know we're all scattered everywhere during the summer. We're vacationing here and traveling there and visiting family over here. But whenever we start to kind of get resettled as school gets started back and we're getting back in our regular routine, it's a great time to get back in the habit of being in Bible class with a great lineup of classes that you see on the out in the foyer. You can pick up one of the little handouts and it'll tell you every class that starts next Sunday with a description of what the class is about, as well as new classes the following Wednesday that will begin. So it's a great time to get back in the flow of things of Bible class, and there's some classes that you're going to really, really want to be a part of and benefit greatly from that will encourage your faith and help you to grow in your discipleship. So really want to encourage you to be a part of that. Also, next Sunday is the beginning opening day for sign up for our small groups. We're getting ready to start a new season of our small groups at the end of August, and so we're going to have sign ups starting next Sunday. So for the next two Sundays, starting next week, you can sign up in the foyer to be a part of a small group. This is a good way to be able to connect with other believers in the faith here in the Maryville Church, and also to grow in your discipleship too, in the great deep discussions that we have about how to apply the Sunday morning sermon into your everyday life. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well. As we get started in the sermon this morning, I want us to begin with a word of prayer. So I invite you to pray with me if you would. Our Father, our Lord, our Almighty God, teach us your ways and help us to follow to the very end. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I think everybody in this room, if I ask for a showing of hands, everybody in here wants to be successful at life. I don't think there's anybody in here that if I were to ask you would say, you know, I just really want to fail at everything I try to pursue. I mean, one thing we share in common is that we want to thrive in this life. We want to see our lives really blossom and develop into great things. We want to have successful relationships. We want to see our marriages excel. We want to see our relationships with our kids be healthy. We want to see our faith grow. We want to make it to the finish line of our faith and enjoy heaven forever with God. All of us want to be successful, and all of us make the attempts to try to make our way down the racetrack of life toward the finish line. But you know what? Things don't always go as planned. Sometimes things don't happen the way that we anticipate for them to happen. Sometimes we get weary. We become tired. We become frustrated. We become battle-worn by all of the things of life. And there are a lot of things that make us just want to throw our hands up and quit. There are a lot of things in life that make us want to quit. I think of a few of them. Sometimes personal failure. Maybe you've just blown it really big time in your life. Maybe a moral failure or a business failure. Or maybe a relationship failure. Whatever the case may be, when we fail, we become weary and we think, you know, I just can't do this anymore. And we're just ready to give in, to give up. Sometimes it's because of broken relationships. We really want to see our relationships with other people really go well. We want to see our marriages be healthy. We want to go the long, you know, go the extra mile in our relationships. But sometimes things don't work as we plan. And sometimes because of broken relationships and feeling like I just couldn't make this thing work and it fell to pieces, we just kind of become very overwhelmed by that. And we think, you know, I can't do it anymore. And we're just going to give up. Sometimes we become so distracted by life itself that we become weary. Because life throws so many things at us. We have so many responsibilities. There's so many expectations that our current culture places on us that it just feels like a heavy load that nobody can bear. And we become so distracted by all the different things that are crying out for our immediate attention in life that we just think, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I need to check out of my responsibilities. I just can't endure. I can't keep going. I can't take another step. See, there are a lot of things in life that we face that make us feel very tempted to just want to throw in the towel. Maybe in your marriage, or maybe in your faith, or maybe at the job site, whatever the case may be, you may feel so weary that you just think, I can't keep going. And we're tempted to quit. We're tempted to throw in the towel. Today I want to share with you very quickly a message from the New Testament book we call Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a very interesting book in the New Testament, and it's very unique among the 27 books. Because the book of Hebrews is not a letter like some of the other letters of the New Testament. It's not a gospel. It's not some vision that an apostle received about heaven. The book of Hebrews is actually an anonymous, dictated sermon that was preached in the early church. Somewhere, somebody, we don't know who, preached a sermon to a gathering of Christians, and somebody wrote it down for us. And we get to read that sermon, what a New Testament sermon looked like. And I'll just remind you, by the way, if you read it, it's 13 chapters, and it probably took a while to get through it. But the book of Hebrews is a sermon. And in that sermon, what the preacher is trying to do is to encourage his audience, because the people that he's talking to are Jewish Christians who are this close to giving up, this close to giving in, to rejecting their faith, throwing in the towel, going back to their old ways and their old faith, their old religions, because they just don't think they can keep going. They don't think that they can endure. And so he preaches this sermon to try to inspire us, his audience, and you and me as we read it, to adopt a certain perspective toward living that I like to call finish line living. To really try to see your life in terms of the finish line. To not be so overwhelmed by what you're experiencing now that you lose sight of what it's all really about. And so he's trying to tell us, don't give up, but endure. The text that we're going to look at this morning is found in the 12th chapter, Hebrews chapter 12. We're just going to look at three verses this morning, Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. So would you look at it with me? I've got it on the screen, or you can look in your Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Let me just stop here for just a second. The Hebrew writer is adapting his sermon with an illustration that his audience would have been really familiar with. You know, as a preacher, sometimes you wrestle with how do I communicate a truth in a way that people can really get it, can really understand it based on their own personal experience. Well, there's one thing that seems to transcend time as a sermon illustration, and that's athletics. You can give us an illustration about sports in some way that will resonate with people, because all of us at least have some passing familiarity or maybe a great understanding of sports and athletics. All of us maybe participated in sports in high school or in college, or at the very least we've thrown baseball or football in the backyard with our son or our daughter. And all of us have some kind of familiarity with it. And so he keys in on that illustration. And the illustration that he paints in their minds, that I want to paint in your mind today, is imagine a stadium, a sports stadium. Maybe it's maybe there's a track in the middle of the stadium. And a great crowd of people have assembled in the stadium to watch a race. Think of the Olympics, for instance. And the stadium is full of people, cheering fans in the stands, cheering on their favorite runner. It's a cloud of witnesses. Everywhere you look in the stands, there are witnesses that we're surrounded by. Now, the specific witnesses that are in the stands that the Hebrew writer has in mind is a great list of people that continued running the race even when they faced extreme difficulties in their life. And he lists them all back in chapter 11. A great list of people who faced extreme hardship and difficulty, and yet they chose, rather than living their life by sight and being overwhelmed to give up and throw in the towel because of what they could see right in front of them, they lived a life of faith where they could see and project toward the finish line, and they lived toward the goal, and they continued to live and to press forward and to not give up. And he gives that whole list of people in chapter number 11. And people like Abraham and people like Noah and all of these great people of faith of the past. He basically says, as you're living your Christian life, you need to know they're looking down on you. There's a cloud of witnesses all around us in the stands above that are cheering us on and saying, don't give up. It's worth it. Trust me. I made it to the end, and it's worth it. Even if you endure hardship, even if you want to give in, don't do it. Keep running. Keep taking the steps. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So he says then, since we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. If you're going to compete in a race, I would suggest that you not wear your winter coat for the race. I would suggest that you probably should not wear work boots, steel-toed work boots, if you're going to race. But instead, you're going to try to wear some tennis shoes that are very light. You're going to wear very athletic clothing that is very streamlined and doesn't weigh much. You're going to put away all of the weights so that you can compete and run in the race, because you're going to if you're weighed down by a lot of weight, you're going to get extremely tired and be tempted to give in before you cross the finish line. So he says, throw off everything that hinders you and run with perseverance. Some translations will say run with endurance. The race that is marked out for us. Now, it's so interesting. The word here, race, in the original language, is the word from which we get the English word agony. Agony. If you have ever trained for or competed in any kind of athletic event, you know that the training, the weightlifting, the endurance running, the conditioning that it takes to be able to compete in a race can be agonizing. But you're willing to go through the agony because of what you know it is. It's worth it to be able to compete in the race. And so he says, let us as Christians run this race with endurance. And let's look beyond just our feet and the moment where we're stepping, but instead look toward the finish line, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Think about him who endured so much opposition from sinners that you will not, you yourself, you won't grow weary and lose heart. Okay, so from this text, I want to give you a point to remember today. And the point is this: the crowns of life don't go to the quick, but go to those who don't quit. The crowns of life don't go to the quick, but go to those who don't quit. Here's what I mean. In a race, like if you're racing someone in a competitive sport, in a sprint, you know that the winner that wins the trophy or wins the gold medal or wins the crown is the person who crosses the finish line first. That's the way we think of races. But in this text, the preacher of the sermon is saying, look, in the race you're running as a Christian, it's not about the person that is the best or the person that's the fastest, or the one that crosses the finish line first that wins the crown. But in reality, the crowns of life go to those who continue to run, who don't quit, who complete the race. Now, here's what I mean by the crowns of life. The crowns of life, I'm not just talking about going to heaven, although that's the ultimate crown. I'm talking about, when I say the crowns of life, I'm saying the things in life that you and I greatly desire and we really want to achieve. For instance, everybody in this room wants to have a healthy relationship with his or her spouse. Every one of us wants to have children who love us and respect us. Every one of us in here wants to have a vibrant, growing relationship with Christ and a faith that is progressing and developing, and we want to ultimately be with Him forever in heaven. All of us want that. But I'm going to tell you something. The crowns of life, actually achieving that or getting there, is not who is the better looking, who's the most competitive, who does life the best, but instead it is the person who is persistent, the person who doesn't give up, the person who keeps on going. Because here's the reality. Anybody can put on a show, a pretty good showing, for a short period of time. Any of us can do a burst of speed and can run a sprint for a period of time. Any of us can. I mean, all of us, for a little while, can have what looks to be a pretty good marriage. Any one of us, for a little while, can look like we're doing a pretty good job as parents. Any one of us, for a little while, can look like we really are taking our faith seriously and we're trying to really develop and grow in our relationship with God. Any one of us can do that. For a short period of time, any of us can make that showing. But the crowns of life go not to those that are the quickest, but to those that don't quit, those that keep going. You see, the life of faith that the Hebrew writer talks about in the entire 11th chapter of Hebrews has everything to do with a long, as one author says, a long obedience in the same direction. That's what living the life of faith is about. It is about continuing to be persistent and to endure and to keep obeying, keep walking, keep living, keep being faithful over the long haul, a long obedience in the same direction. The crowns of life don't go to those that are necessarily the quickest, but go to those who refuse to quit. Now, the question though is, how do you do that? Because all of us know that, and we want to do that, but we all sometimes just grow weary. We get tired. We get tired of fighting for it. We get out of breath. We don't have the endurance. We become emotionally exhausted. So if the Hebrew, the preacher of this sermon is saying, run the race with endurance. That's easy to hear from a preacher. But as I listen to the sermon, as you listen to this sermon, I'm thinking, that sounds nice. But how? How do you do that? Well, thankfully, as he preaches this lesson, he doesn't leave us without some practical things, some takeaways of things that you and I can do in our lives to run with endurance, to practice finish line living. He tells us some specific things to do, three specific things, and I want to quickly share those with you. First of all, if you'll allow me to change the metaphor of a foot race to now a car race. If you're in a car race, you know, if you watch NASCAR or you watch Indy racing or whatever, and you're watching a car race, there's three things you're going to have to do if you're going to finish that race well. Number one, you need to fill your tank with a positive message. If you're going to run the race with endurance of your life, you have got to listen to the messages of positivity around you. Here's what I mean. Whenever he says in the first verse of chapter 12, seeing that we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses, what he's saying is that all the people of faith that have lived before us, the people of the Bible, the people that you knew that lived persistent lives, I mean, think back to the people that have great influence on your life. Maybe it was your grandma or your grandpa. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a mentor. And they've passed on now. And you look back with great fondness of the impact that they had on your life. And you look at the life that they lived. And yeah, they weren't perfect. They made mistakes along the way. They may not have been the quickest, but they didn't quit. They were tenacious. They were persistent. They endured. They were faithful. And you knew what they believed in. And you knew where they stood. And they didn't always get it right. And they didn't always make all the right choices. But you knew the pathway of their life, a long obedience in the same direction. They didn't quit. And now, what the Hebrew writer is saying is, as you and I, it's now our time to run, and we're down there on that track, listen to the voices that are surrounding you in the cloud. And they're cheering you on. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep running. Don't quit. You see, we've got to listen to those messages. Because I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that that will make you want to give up more than anything else is listening to a bunch of negativity in your life. Because when you grow weary in your life and you're hearing people say to you, well, I'll tell you what, if I were you, I'd leave him. I wouldn't put up with that. Or you're listening to the message of people that are saying, you know, you've tried to be good and you've done everything. You know, you've always cared for other people in your life. Well, now it's your turn. It's your turn to have some happiness. So you just do what you want to do. And you do whatever makes you happy. You see, if you're listening to these negative messages, or if you're at work and you're just thinking about, you know what, everybody around you is real negative and they're talking about how horrible it is to work here and how horrible the bosses are, and you're listening to that message, negative messages will make you grow weary and make you throw in the towel. But even when things are difficult, if you're listening to positive messages and you're hearing people that are cheering you on, then, and your tank is filled with that, it is much easier to continue going. So I want to challenge you to fill your tank with positive messages and listen to the witnesses. Surround yourself with people that will cheer you on in your life, not tear you down. Find the cheerleaders around you and start tapping into and listening to and be fueled by them, because I'm convinced that the fuel for endurance is positivity. So you need to hear positive messages. That's why the ministry of encouragement is such a vital Christian ministry. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's somebody sitting down the aisle from you today, down the pew from you, that may be this close to giving up. And the thing that might keep them from giving up, that might help them to take one more step and to keep going in the Christian race, might be a positive word, an encouraging word that is spoken by you. So fill your tank with positive messages. Secondly, you need to improve your gas mileage. If you're going to try to win a race, I would suggest that you not fill the trunk of your car with cinder blocks. Or that you do like this guy in this picture and just absolutely load down your car with unbelievable weight. Now listen to what he says in the sermon. He says, seeing that we have this crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. For some of us, the reason why we're growing so weary and we're thinking about giving up and we're not living the finish line life, is because we have weighed ourselves down with so many obligations in life that we become so distracted that we can't even see the finish line. We don't even know where we're at anymore. We don't even know what track we're on. And the world that we live in today, there is no shortage of somebody or something calling for your attention and more of your time and more of your investment. And so if you're going to finish the race and endure, the key to endurance is starting to, we all have to be more disciplined to say, what is the most important things in my life? And I need to focus on those things. And there may be some things in my life that are good things that I'm going to have to say no to, because I cannot keep going being weighed down with all of this. So to endure, we may have to let go of some things. And some of those things we may have to let go of may be destructive habits. Did you hear what he said? Since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets. For some of us, the reason we're having a hard time enduring and the reason why we start to look at our life and we say, you know, I don't know that I can make it to the end of this thing, is because we've adopted certain habits or behaviors, sins, that are weighing us down. And this preacher is saying, it's time for you to let that go. It's time for you to stop doing it, because it's destructive. And it's going to end in you not finishing the race. It's going to end poorly. It's going to destroy your relationship. It's going to destroy your faith. Today is the day to let go of it. To let go of the sin that so easily besets. Because you need to improve your gas mileage if you're going to make it to the end. And then thirdly, he says, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're going to have to focus on your destination. A lot of times the reason we become so weary in life is because we become so narrow in our focus that we can't see past what is happening in the here and now. And so we become so weighed down by it that we just think, I can't do this anymore. And we give up and we lose sight of where we're really headed. So don't lose sight of your destination. You're not going to be able to win the race. I mean, do you ever see a runner at the Olympics when he's running like this, looking at his feet? You never see that. When they're running, they might be looking at the runners around them, but one thing is for sure, they're focused on the finish line. That's where their focus is. So don't lose sight of what's most important and what you're running toward, because ultimately, none of us have the energy on our own to see any of this stuff through. You might think that you do. But when it comes to life, it's not the sprinters who win. It's the endurance runners. And the only way that you're going to be able to endure is not just looking at the finish line and saying, if I just work a little harder, if I just put forth a little more effort, I'm going to make it to the finish line. No, he says, you look to not just the finish line, but look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. Look to Jesus and look to how he was able to complete the race. And let him be the one that is working through you as you surrender to him as being the author of your salvation. And it's then and only then that he'll take you through to the finish line. I think the best illustration that I know of this happened in 1992 in Barcelona, Spain. You may remember this story of how Derek Redman was competing in the 400 meter for the gold in the Olympics. And he's in the lane there and he's racing to try to win this race. And he takes off. The gun sounds and they take off running. And he makes it around one of the turns, makes it through several of down the track. And then at one point, he has a severe hamstring injury, which leaves him fallen on the track. And the crowd is just speechless. He was running for Great Britain, and the photographers captured these photographs when he's just in agonizing pain on the track. But the crowd couldn't anticipate what happened next because rather than continue to lay there, Derek Redmond decides he's going to get up, even despite a torn hamstring in excruciating pain. He's going to continue to try to finish the race. But the crowd couldn't anticipate even more what happened next, and they stood to their feet in a standing ovation when someone made it through all of the officials of the race and came to his side. It was none other than Derek Redmond's own father that came out of the stands, that had been cheering him on, and came alongside of him and helped him to finish the race. You see, not only was Derek Redmond's father cheering from the stands, not only was he cheering on for him to keep going and to finish the course of the race, but he came out of the stands and got under his arm and took steps along the way with him to help him get to the end. And I want to tell you, that's what Jesus wants to do for you. That's how you can finish. That's how you can endure. It's not only listen and be fueled and have your tank filled with the positive messages from others around you, cheering you on to continue to go forward, but also to lay aside the things that are keeping you from enduring and improve your gas mileage. But then thirdly, look to the person that is the author and finisher of your faith, that came out of the stands of heaven, came down on the track for you, and says, "Come walk with me, take my yoke, take my arm upon you, and I'll take yours, and I'll help you to the finish line." I want to encourage you and me to not give up, but to keep going. You may be carrying a heavy weight this morning. It may be time to let it go. You may be listening to negative messages. I want to encourage you to find the people in your life that'll be your cheerleaders, that'll cheer you on. And most of all, will you not surrender to Jesus and let Him help you to cross the finish line and live a life that says, you know, the crown goes not to those that are the quickest, but to those that refuse to quit and that live finish line kind of lives. If we can help you in any way in your obedience to Christ to surrender and accept His help, we'd love to help you this morning. Maybe you're ready to surrender to Jesus in the new birth of repentance and baptism, or maybe you need prayers of encouragement to cheer you on along the way. We'd love to do that for you today as well. If we can help you, won't you stand as we all sing together?